everything happens for a reason. It's for our growth. You know, as ugly as that can sound, it's also, if we can't grow from what happens, we can't choose what happens to us. You know, the experiences that we go through, I mean, I say that broadly, I probably shouldn't, because we do have many choices that lead to things that happen to us. But there are things that happen to us that are out of our control in our lives, right? And you either can sit and revel in that and be sad and live in that life, or you can be triumphant. You can learn from it. You can grow from it. And I chose to grow from it and become the man that I am today. And I would never I would not be who I am. I would not be able to impact people's lives the way that I'm impacting people's lives had I not gone through that, because I was damned to allow what happened to me to happen to other people. And that is why, I mean, that's the reason why I've got the passion in me. That's the reason why I've got the fire in me. That's the reason why this drive is so strong in me, to help people rise to their full potential.
Welcome to the 3 Steps to Thrive podcast, where each show will show you 3 simple, practical, and actionable steps to improve your life or your business. Now, here's your host, James Lamb. And guess what? That's me. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are. Wherever you are, my goodness, this is going to be a long podcast already. My name is James. I am your host for 3 Steps to Thrive, the podcast where we bring on successful and interesting entrepreneurs and business owners who talk to us a little bit about their business, but also about 3 things that you can do to improve your business or improve your improve yourself as well. We have the CEO of JG Entertainment here, Jonathan George. Say hello, Jonathan.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Now, Jonathan is by far, team, and I don't know how to describe this to you, the coolest person we have ever had on the show, by not even a little bit, by a fair margin. All right, let me tell you a little bit about Jonathan. He actually has a really thin bio here. It's not because he hasn't done a bunch of stuff, it's because he's being modest. So let's go and read a little bit about his bio, and then we're going to come back and we're going to just pummel Jonathan with a bunch of questions that I'm sure I want to know, to be honest, and Jonathan is hiding. So Jonathan George has spent the last 20 years creating rock star personal brands for celebrities, entrepreneurs, and influencers with over 150 million followers online. He is known as a human hit maker because of his ability to identify, extract, and cultivate people's greatest untapped assets and brands into hashtag rockstar status for their highest potential of authority, impact, and success. So welcome, Jonathan.
Thank you. That's, you know, it's always like when people read that, I'm always like, God, that's a big statement to live. That's a big pair of pants to step into.
Well, that is fair, but it's cool what you do. So you know, and just let's just back up for a second here. And part of the reason why it's interesting, because I'm Canadian, I'm here in Calgary, you're in LA, is that correct?
Correct.
Right.
Los Angeles.
And you're kind of living like the LA dream, right? You're kind of a big deal down there. You've rubbed elbows with a bunch of people. There's a boom mic, and I know you can't see this, listeners, but it says unleash your rock star with like the rock star hand pose here, right? So it's kind of cool. But you used to be rubbing elbows with a bunch of high-end people. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, like you said, I mean, for 20 years, I've had JG Entertainment, which has, you know, for 17 years was just singers and artists, and you know, all of my clients are who you see on film and TV as well as on the radio. They're just really, you know, incredible talents that are out in the world. And about 3 years ago, I went to Bali and had a rebirthing. You know, I was really dried up. I was used up. I felt kind of lost. You know, it's like I was at this point in my life. It was like I have something else in me. I've got to find out what this is. And because, you know, I've just served people that are influencing the world. And I was like, there's something greater here. And I walked away. I paid $10,000 to go to this mastermind in Bali. And like 30 minutes into it, I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm sitting here I just paid somebody 10 grand for them to ask me the same questions that I ask my clients. But what was incredible was that I actually had to do the work. And I said, you know what? I'm here. Let me do this. And midday into it, let me just tell you, I had a rebirthing. I had a rebirthing of who Jonathan George is, who I'm mm-hmm. at my core. I remembered me. And I remembered the dream that I wanted to be able to impact many people's lives. And I just couldn't figure out how this was going to all translate. But I walked away with, I was there with some very influential women, number one bestselling authors, big, huge influencers. And they all asked me to build their personal brands. And I was like, you know, I've already worked with, you know, New York Times bestsellers, because a lot of my clients, the kids that, you know, young artists that I worked with, their parents were very influential people. So they had asked me to help them with their brands. So I was like, sure, let me do this. But what happened was that I realized that through this journey and this process of building all of these different types of entrepreneurs, authors, coaches, CEOs, entertainers, influencers, mm-hmm. is that we all, in order to become, my biggest statement is success is 20% talent. Mm-hmm. The other 80% is how you brand that talent to shine.
Right.
And so just let me finish that really quick. I mean, it's that I went through this whole process to land where I am today, to realize how that every single one of us needs a personal brand. And I founded Unleash Your Rockstar, which is my new company, to help people tap into their personal brand. So it's just not an entertainment world, but all people, no matter what calling in life you are, you need a personal brand.
That is super cool. And you're 100% right. Let me ask you this question. When you were in Bali, so just picture this. You're in Bali and you spent a ton of money and you're with a bunch of influential people. What did you discover that's important to you? Why the shift? What is internally that's driving you? What is the motivation there that you found? What is like the essence of Jonathan George?
Well, you know, it's really incredible that I just to reconnect with myself, because when you serve and you give to people, you're always continuously pouring, reading people, understanding people, listening to people, and pulling out the best in people. I hadn't recharged my batteries at all. My creativity was stifled. My connection to myself was completely stifled. And also the other incredible thing is that, you know, I've been in the ministry. I was in the ministry for 33 years of my life until I was 33 years old. My parents are pastors, and I had walked away from all of that because, one of the things that I didn't talk to you about was, well, okay, to answer your question bluntly, was that I reconnected with myself and my story and who I was and where I came from. There was a point in my life, just to kind of give you some background, is when I was 26, I was the grand champion winner on Ed McMahon's Next Big Star.
Oh, cool.
It was like, you know, his new Star Search show at the time. And I had a record deal on the table. I just released a single. I was working on my album. And that was also when Google was hitting pretty strong, and they Googled my name and found out that I was gay. And back then in 2000, 2001, I can't remember when exactly that was, but it literally, they stopped all communication, retracted the contract, the record label did. I had my management try to get me married to a Canadian, and I just had to sit there and realize, who is Jonathan George? And it really took me back to being a kid where I was relentlessly bullied. Mm-hmm. And for being a creative kid, the kid who didn't play sports in Dallas. I mean, Dallas is all about sports. Then my dad being a pastor, the spiritual abuse that I went through. And, you know, all this time I was like being told, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. I was told I couldn't go to heaven, even though I was an ordained pastor and I was a mm-hmm. music minister and all of that. And so what happened was that I had to sit there and I was like, Jonathan, who are you going to be in the world? And I was like, if I can't show up authentically me, then I'm not going to give in. I'm going to have to be authentically me. So that's when I began. That's really when I made that commitment to help people rock the person they already were inside, rather than trying to shift them and change them into something that they aren't. And so when I went to Bali, I remembered all of that. I had squished all of that down. I was, you know, I was successful. I was helping people be successful. And I've forgotten who I was at my core, because I was pushing back all of those thoughts of you're not good enough, you're not good enough, you're not good enough, and piling that down and stacking on top of that all these accolades. And I had really forgotten that pain and the fear. And that fear, what happened too is that I kept hitting these glass ceilings going, I see where I'm supposed to be. I see that other side, but I can't reach it. And it was all because I had these deep-seated fears that I wasn't good enough. And I was scared to build relationships with people who were greater than me, scared to build relationships and to go into partnerships with people because they knew more than me, because I was scared of that you're not good enough situation. And, you know, my story is not going to be the same as yours, but James, we all share the same exact thing. We've all felt that you're not good enough. It's that syndrome. It's the imposter syndrome that entrepreneurs step into, that we step into in a daily life, that we don't feel like we're good enough to achieve what we need to achieve. And so it was a reconnecting to all of that for me. It was a rebirthing and a re-knowing of who I am. And yeah, it was amazing.
My friend, that is a powerful, powerful story. And I think we can end the podcast there. I think that's good enough, don't you think? I'm just joking. No, it's great. So I have a couple of questions for you. And I don't know where to start with that one, because it's you just laid on so much stuff, but I love it how, and this is not a pun, but how you rock it, right? I love it how you rock it. And you were just out there and you told us about this and about that. And there was a lot of stuff to unpack there, right?
Right.
Do you think part of the reason why you didn't rock it before is because you were embarrassed about it?
Well, you know, I've always had confidence. That is something that I've always had as a young kid, and a little bit of rebellion. So I always fought against the repression, you know, the oppression of you're not good enough. I fought against it. That's the reason why I was going after my dreams. However, there's still this fear of you're not good enough. And that's really the takeaway from all of this, is that Unleash Your Rockstar, my movement is to really help people overcome this fear of not knowing who they are and how to show up. Because really, honestly, if you don't understand who you are, you're never going to achieve the greatness that you are destined to be. And like we were saying before the podcast started, we all have greatness within us. We all have something. It doesn't matter if you're shy, if you're quiet, or if you're the introvert, or you're the extrovert, or you're the middle child. It doesn't really matter in your life. You were destined to be great. Now, your greatness may not look like being the president of the United States, but your greatness can impact lives on a massive level. It can impact your community. It can impact your family, your relationships. And that all comes through your personal branding of knowing who you are and how to show up so that you can be the rock star in your life.
Yeah. No, that's so true. So let's take you back for a second. I want to delve into this a little bit more. You said it was about, and correct me if I'm wrong, 2000, 2001, when this thing happened, right? When kind of, yeah. And let's take a moment here. And I hate to put salt in the wound, but just for the listener's sake, it's like you're on top of the world. You just killed it in so many ways, right? And then this all came out, and you thought, you know, based on this, you were going a certain trajectory in life. Right. But that got, it's like the rug got pulled under you. But instead of having a floor underneath you, there's a hole, and you just keep falling down further and further and further. Because one thing leads to another, which leads to another. And I'm sure there were a number of people that had, sadly enough, homophobic comments, right? That came through, and kind of like, it was like the worst thing to happen to you. That was probably the worst thing to happen to you. And it's sad because it's just the way you are. So my question is, now it's been almost 20 years, right? It's been a while, right? It's been quite a long time. Was that a blessing in disguise? Was
that 100%.
You know, if you kept going, where would you be versus where you are now? What did you discover out of that moment?
Right. Well, you know, I truly believe that everything happens for a reason. It's for our growth. You know, as ugly as that can sound, it's also, if we can't grow from what happens, we can't choose what happens to us. you know, the experiences that we go through. I mean, I say that broadly, I probably shouldn't, because we do have many choices that lead to things that happen to us. But there are things that happen to us that are out of our control in our lives, right? And you either can sit and revel in that and be sad and live in that life, or you can be triumphant. You can learn from it. You can grow from it. And I chose to grow from it and become the man that I am today. And I would never I would not be who I am. I would not be able to impact people's lives the way that I'm impacting people's lives had I not gone through that, because I was damned to allow what happened to me to happen to other people. And that is why, I mean, that's the reason why I've got the passion in me. That's the reason why I've got the fire in me. That's the reason why this drive is so strong in me, to help people rise to their full potential. Because I want you to walk authentically in your power and not let somebody else stick their thumb and drive you down and say, oh, James, because you're Asian, no, you can't do that. Or no, you can't do that because you're a married man. You can't own businesses and do this because you're this and that. I mean, we have so many stigmas that come at us about certain things. And that's all BS. Let's just call it. It's BS. We can do whatever we set our minds to, as long as we're clear on what our goals and intentions are.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I won't dwell too much on this point, but I guess we all have our hangups, right? Everybody has their self-limiting beliefs. Everybody has their hangups. And I grew up in a predominantly, and I don't want to get into this subject too much, but I grew up in a predominantly Caucasian neighborhood, super white, right? We were the Asian kids who did calculus, violin, and piano. And I wish I was joking, but I'm actually not joking.
You were the stereotype right there.
We were totally the stereotype. But it's interesting now, because my generation of Asians who grew up in North America speaking English, and we don't speak a lick of Chinese, Mandarin, or Cantonese, or Taosinese, or whatever it is, we're kind of finding our way, because we are still easily identified and we still have some stereotypes. And so it's really interesting. I think
Stereotypes are really good stereotypes. I mean, at least they're good ones.
Well, it's interesting, right? But you see people rock it in different ways. For a long time I kind of hit it, and I don't know how to say it because it's not like I can hide. But you see people like Jet Tila, who's on the Food Network, a chef there, and the first thing he has in his Instagram bio is son of two immigrants from Thailand and China. Like it's just out there, right? And it's kind of like what you're telling me. Within 5 minutes, you kind of like, this is me, and I love it. So my question is, you would consider, you know, you're an intuitive guy, yes?
Yes, very.
And that came from a lot of your background. It actually made you stronger and gave you the skills to do that, yes?
Correct, yeah. You know, and also from my spiritual upbringing helped me tap into my intuition.
Right. How do you help people? Like if someone, and you're talking about creating a rock star brand for everybody, and I believe, you know, if I asked you what your superpower was, and I'm not going to let you answer because I'm going to answer the one for you. I think it's going to be intuition. Out of all things, it's intuition, and it's reading people to be able to showcase what is the best elements of them, right? So when you talk to people, do you have to say, it's okay to be like this sometimes? Like, do they come with preconceived notion of, to be a rock star, I need to do this, and I need to do this, and I need to have this personality and dress a certain way, and this is who I'm trying to be, right? Like, in the business world, you have people, you know, Russell Brunson, there's only one Russell Brunson, and he talks like this, and his hands go, but everybody tries, all, especially guys, right? Talk about toxic male masculinity. All the guys try to be Russell, even though they're not. So how important is it when you meet people to do their rock star brand that you kind of strip them down? And there's no other way to say it, right? You kind of say, no, that's not you.
Well, one of the greatest things, why I am such a self-development junkie. I've been doing self-development since I was 9 years old, when my brother told me that people didn't like me. And I began a self-development journey. Hmm. And I wanted to punch him in the throat at that time as a kid, but you know, he was also 3 years older than me, but it literally took me down this incredible journey. And so the reason really why my clients are successful is because of the self-development that I put them through, because you cannot build a great personal brand on authenticity if you don't know who you are. We have to discover who you are. We have to understand how to tie in all these things. And, you know, even like with my, I never told my story. This past year, I was going through a program to help me be a speaker. And it's like basically what I do for brands, this guy does for speakers. And so going through that process, they're like, Jonathan, you have to share this. And I was like, I don't want to share about being gay. I've always been the gay guy. I don't want to be the gay guy. I just want to be the guy. And yeah. And so then I realized, no, that is my story. This is my journey. This is who I am. And a lot of this, you know, my process, I mean, it's so crazy. It's ironic that I do that for everybody else, but I couldn't do it for myself, mm-hmm. you know? And so we're too attached to our junk. And so I had this through this process, I was able to start beginning to share the story with people and share it in a way that I was comfortable so that I, cause I'm not a victim. I'm not low as me. It's not like my life was some horrible sham. I mean, I had an incredible life. I had a lot of incredible successes, but there was this one thing that always had its thumb in my back, you know, and that really tried to pull me down and bury me, but I refused to allow it, you know? So, I didn't want to share it because I didn't want to play the victim. And being able to share it is what has really helped me connect with people, because people say that I'm can be intimidating, you know, because I'm like, you can do it, you know, just being in people's faces and being somebody's biggest cheerleader, that is intimidating for a lot of people. But realizing that, hey, I went through the same thing, and that's the reason why my passion is so powerful and my drive is so strong. So did I answer your question? I kind of went
You did. I don't think I had a question there. I'm just rambling now, and okay. that's okay.
But being able to help people, you know, to help them understand that that's the reason, is so that your brand, when you can, with the self-development, mm-hmm. and you can uncover yourself and realize who you are. If you think about it, it's confidence. It's the it factor. It's what makes somebody sexy. When you meet them, it's their confidence. And it doesn't mean that they have to be big and loud confidence. It can be a quiet, subtle confidence. But we're drawn to confidence. And that's the reason why it's called the it factor. It's called the, you know, the X factor. All that is confidence. That's what we're mm-hmm. drawn to in people. And so it makes us trust you. It makes us want to be around you. It makes you more influential. It makes you a stronger leader. And it just makes you very much more powerful. And so for me, it's really that self-discovery that makes personal branding so powerful for me, because there's this whole thought process, James, that personal branding is only for entrepreneurs or mm-hmm. a CEO or a company. No, we're all a personal brand, especially in today's market where everybody is on social media. They're on dating apps. They're on, you know, every kind of app you can imagine. And you've got to remember, how am I going to showcase my life to people? Mm.
No, it's a good, and I do want to get to your program in just a second. I want to ask one more question, and you can choose to answer or choose not to answer, right? When you, and how do I phrase this? When people demonstrate honesty, when people demonstrate authenticity, you're actually naturally attracted to them, right?
Yes.
It's almost like they're vulnerable, it shows. So when you tell new people that you're gay, does that actually increase the trust factor? Is that something that you notice?
You know, I don't, I mean, because I mean, I've been married for 14 years. I mean, I've always been, you know, basically, I hate the term out, but just being honest with people with who I am always since I was 19. So I really don't think of it that way. But what I do is when people find out, they're like, oh, you kind of beat the stereotypes of certain things. You know what I mean? It's really interesting because, you know, speaking of stereotypes, is that I went through a thing with straight men where I had a huge distrust with straight men because of the bullying that I received growing up.
That's fair.
And the pastors that I was under that spiritually abused me and really hurt me. So I had a lot of trust factors there. And it's been amazing in LA to see that nobody, you know, wasn't anybody cared. And the fact that I was honest about it makes people And here's the thing is when you can, when you're honest with who you are and you're just confident in that, people embrace you, you know, and it's like, they just, I love you, you know, and it's just, it's created bonds with straight men that I never thought that I would have, friendships, and because of the honesty and the trust. Because here's the thing, like I said, is that we all experience that same situation of I'm not good enough. It's the pain, it's the hurt. And every one of us have gone through that. So when you can look at somebody and go, wow, I really resonate with their story of how that made, how that feels. Cause I felt the same way. It was just a, through a different avenue, it was a, through a different experience and situation, but we've all felt that way. And so it just really makes us all bond.
No, it's true. So this, this program that you have, Unleash Your Rockstar, it, it's interesting because I think the product is, the product essentially is a more confident version of you that you can rock out to, so to speak. But the
sexy baby, sexy.
But the real product is finding out who you are and what you stand for. Tell me about the self-development that you do in your program.
Well, I've got a proprietary process that I've created, and it is, you know, it involves the head, which is your who, you know, who, if, you know, really especially for, it's like having clear goals. It's your what, how, and who, you know, answering the basic questions of what is it that you really want, where, getting clarity on that, understanding, you know, if you're a business, then we can go into your concise messaging and your copy and your content. It's what you do, it's who you serve. It's like creating that fan base, you know, the basics, right? Yeah. Of any kind of business. But then we got to dive deep into the heart, and the heart is your why. Why do you serve who you serve? Why do you want to go? What is your dreams and what are your passions? What your core values are? What is your mission statement in life? What's your hero's journey, your superpowers, your flaws, your fears? What's holding you back? What makes you special? These are all things that we have to dive into that really is that self-discovery that is going to ignite the head, right?
Yeah.
And of course, there's the body, and that's the content of what you're putting out there, how you're showing up to the world, right? Whether that's on a podcast, whether that is on a blog, whether that's a fan, you know, social media, it's, it, you know, it's where you're showing up and how you're showing up in those spaces. Mm-hmm. And then there's the foot, and that's the action. That's like taking the steps to making those goals come true and those dreams come true with this newfound personal brand.
Right. That's amazing.
It is, it, it is a method for success, baby.
No, that sounds good. It sounds like a powerful program, and it sounds like one that quite honestly, a lot of people need, right?
Yeah.
When is the right time? Is there a right time to do this? Like, is there a right time to figure out what you stand for, or should everybody just kind of clamor down and visit your website and register for the next one? What's the caveat? What's the catalyst here? Excuse me.
Well, you know, it's really incredible that this past year I launched a program for schools because with social media, when social media came out, suicide, depression, anxiety increased 37%. That was 2016. I can guarantee you that that number has increased heavily. And it's not just kids that feel that way. It is adults as well. It is entrepreneurs. It is us looking, you think about when you're trying to launch a podcast and you're looking at everybody else who's created a podcast, like, who am I? Who's James Lamb? What, you know, what, who am I to show up and do a new podcast? Who's going to listen to me? Hmm. Right. And all of those thoughts start coming up into our heads. So I created a program, Unleash Your Rockstar, and that's creating personal brand for you in school to understand social and emotional intelligence so that you know how to show up powerfully in school. So to answer your question, it is never too early. And it is, I truly believe it is a necessity for today's time age that you show up powerfully in the world, that you know how to show up, because there is so much noise that it will drown you. It literally just drowns you. And so, you know, I think if we could start at a younger age, then we wouldn't have the problems that we have today. You'd have a lot more happy people. And, you know, and you've got kids and you think about it. You want those kids to show up powerfully in the world, not to sit there and have insecurities and fears and pains and hurts where, you know, where people are committing suicide at such a young age. And you're like, oh. So I really, to me, you're wherever you are, and we have programs for the schools all the way up to the CEOs and authors, coaches, people, entrepreneurs who really want to be the experts in their field. We have programs for them as well. So it just literally runs the gamut because it's important for everyone.
Yeah, it's super important for everyone, right? Especially kids, right? If you think about your school days, and I know we spoke about this before, but most people's school days sucked, right? there was inevitably kind of that thing where you would go visit school and you'd say, oh, please let this be an okay day. Please don't let this screw up. Okay, I'm going to avoid this person because I know what's going to happen here. And, you know, you're kind of running around school with anxiety and paranoia, for lack of a better term, right? Yeah. Cool. There's a question here, and I'm having trouble phrasing it. Like, it's, I think what I love what you do, and I love what you like. I have two kids, and you know that they're 2.5 and 5.5 now. The half matters at this day. That's these ages.
Yes, it sure does.
It doesn't make a big difference.
It makes a difference of whether they're potty trained or they're still, you know, in the diaper.
That is true, actually. There, and anybody who has kids will recognize that gap, right? Do you think that insecurity is at the root of all of our challenges? And let me see if I can elaborate on this thought. It's an unfinished thought, but you know, the world is looking at America in many ways, and there's COVID, and there's, you know, Black Lives Matter, and you know, we spoke a little bit about your past. So if you think about it, there's no dialogue going on between different parties. And do you think that's because people are too insecure to listen to what the other side says? So, you know, I mean, if you think about it, it's not just gay rights, but it's like the entire view, how we view people who are gay has, I hope, progressed in the last 20 years, right? The way we view cultures, I hope, has progressed in the last 20 years. But do you think there's like this holdout of what seems like people who just refuse to listen? And do you think that stems from an insecurity perspective?
Everything is based off of fear. Everything. And, you know, here's the thing is when you have been pushed down for so long, I don't care who you are, you will snap at some point. And when you feel like you've seen something, I mean, for Black Lives Matter, I mean, you think about what people have seen and, you know, you don't have to be black to see what's going on unless you are truly a blind human, you know? And I don't want to get political into this, this conversation, but I love that people are feeling powerful to speak up for themselves. You know, I'm thankful for people speaking up for me that was when I wasn't able to speak up for myself. For the people who have fought for my rights to, so that, you know, we just had the Supreme Court just not unanimously, but thank you for the six who voted that I can't be fired for being, you know, gay. It's truly amazing that I feel like we're waking up. We're realizing that, you know, all lives do matter and that we need to make sure that everyone is protected, that every single person, what doesn't matter your religion, doesn't matter, you know, your sexuality, your race, your culture, your finances, it just doesn't matter. You need to be loved. You need to be protected and that things need to be equal. And so I think that once we can, you know, fear is caused by an experience that we have, just like my fear of gay, straight men. I was always waiting for the verbal abuse to hit because I experienced so much of that, you know. I don't want to dive too much into things, but fear is caused by our experiences and negative experiences, and so people are just finally using their voices to stand up. But us not listening to one another is a human trait, that something that lacks social and emotional intelligence. It's not, I think it does. When you can't sit and listen to someone's perspective and understand where they came from. Because once we understand things, that's when healing can happen. And when we can't, we lack this, the social intelligence, we can't, our emotional intelligence, we can't control our emotions. We're just wanting to fight rather than stop. Let's break this down. Let's see where the problem is. Let's look at where, okay, that's your viewpoint. Okay, this is my viewpoint. How can we come to a happy medium? Your viewpoint doesn't mean that you're wrong, and it doesn't make you right. It's just your viewpoint. It's your experience in life. And we have to come together and be able to see each other's perspectives in order to make change.
Yeah.
And so.
No, it's very powerful. Thank you for sharing that, Jonathan. It's a weird term that I don't think either of us expected to do on this podcast, but whatever. It is what it is out there now,
well,
right?
It's right now. It's what is what's going on. And, you know, last year I went and got my master's practitioner's license in neuro-linguistic programming and social and emotional intelligence. And because I wanted tools to really be able to help people dive deeper. And I didn't even realize this, even though I had this, already was doing this in my career, but how now much more intentional about people understanding perspectives, understanding your social and emotional intelligence, because that's what really makes you powerful in your life and being able to work with people in your brand. One of the things about your personal branding and people liking you and being able to be a great leader is being able to have social and emotional intelligence and to be able to walk powerfully in that, to be able to listen to people, to understand people.
Yeah. And I guess that only comes when you figure out what you stand for.
Yes.
Because it's a shaky house if you try to build your brand on someone else's image.
Yep. 100%.
Right. Okay. We're going to get to your three tips in just a second. And I want to talk to you. I want to ask, I want people to know how to get in touch with you because you have such an important message, and it's important for kids. It's important for CEOs. It's important for somebody who just is unsure of who they are. And that's totally okay. Right. You need to recognize sometimes that, hey, there's something missing before you can fix it. Right. So Jonathan clearly is passionate about what he does, and I can tell already he's great at what he does. One more question before we get to your three tips, though, and that is, do you have a story that you want to share about one of your customers going through your program, or one person, a life that you changed? You have a favorite story that you have?
Well, first, to answer your question, how people can find me is unleashyourrockstar.com. It's very easy. Unleashyourrockstar.com. And you know, we talked before is that there's things on there to help you. There's just like several free tool things that you can use to either break through the imposter syndrome if you're an entrepreneur, or you know, if you want to create your core values and understand just some tools to help you build confidence in yourself to know how to show up powerfully. And what was that last question?
Sorry. Do you have a story? That's okay. Do you have a story? Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You know what? Yes, I do. I don't know if you watch American Idol, but two seasons ago, Harper Grace is one of my kids. She came to me when she was 11 years old. She was just deemed the world's worst national anthem singer. And if you Google her, I mean, like, it was awful. It was, you know, there was like this huge stadium. It was the soccer champs. And everybody started blowing their kazoos. Well, she was 11 years old. She's sitting there. No one told her that there was echo in the stadium. So she's like, and she's waiting for the echo to start. She can't find her pitch. And it literally was a disaster. And it was like 3 minutes. It took her 3 minutes to sing the song rather than 90 seconds, you know, to sing it. And so she came to me. She was literally wanted to stop. She wanted to quit and give up everything. And this little girl was so talented at 11 years old. I mean, so incredibly gifted. And so 4 years, she was in my programs. And we worked for her to actually embrace what happened to her. Let that be her hero's journey. Let that be her triumph story. And when she showed up on American Idol at 15 and a half to audition, the first thing that they did was show the world's worst national anthem. And because she knew how to embrace it, how to laugh about it, how to talk about it, it became the number one watched video that season.
That's amazing, huh?
And even though she didn't go on to make it to top final night, they had her come back and perform with the top three because of that number one watch video story. So, man, when you can embrace who you are, where you've been, what you've gone through, people love you for it. People love that you can embrace it because it makes them feel connected to you. And if you don't have a story, then it could be the opposite, just like it did for my artist, Michaela Phillips, who was on she was the Golden Buzzer winner on America's Got Talent. And she was in the semifinals. And afterwards I told her, I said, hey, Michaela, you're not going to go through to the next round. And I said, it has nothing to do with what you just did. You outsang everybody. You are the star of the night, but you did not have a story to tell people. You didn't have something that would make people connect to you. Mm. And I was right with that. And so when you don't have a story, you don't have knowing who you are and walk confidently in that, people just are not going to bond with you the same as they do with somebody who does.
That's amazing. Let me just paraphrase what you said, because it's an important part. Your story makes you stronger. Your story is part of what intrigues people. So if you're hiding that part of you, what happens, Jonathan?
Well, people just, there's something, they don't know what it is, but they don't trust you. Hmm. And usually, again, it's fear of judgment, fear of people finding out something. So there's a wall that's built up, and all people are seeing and they're meeting is your insecurity. And when people meet your insecurity, you've lost their trust. They don't like you. It usually that fear comes across as a know-it-all, or you're aggressive. You know what I mean? So we try to cover up our insecurities with fake things. And so that's what people see, and it makes people not like you.
Mm, that's very interesting. You. Yeah. It's a valuable point though, too, right? So team, you know, even if you don't have a rock star image, you know, one of the challenges is going to be just what Jonathan said, right? If you don't have a rock star image and you're trying to cover something up, a lot of time people don't trust you or you don't stand for anything. And that in itself is a problem. And I think everybody recognizes that. All right, we've gone long, which is totally okay, because I've enjoyed every moment of it. Jonathan, your three tips for improving the business or the business owner.
Oh, man. Number one is understanding your why of what you're truly doing. I mean, I know we kind of talked about this earlier, but the understanding the why, the what, the how, and the who you serve, how you're serving them, what makes you special, and why you're doing what you're doing. And if you can really answer those questions, you know, for a business owner, man, that makes you powerful.
Yeah.
And I think the same thing for just when, you know, any person who is trying to gain confidence in their life and be a rock star and have personal branding in their life is understanding, why am I showing up? What is it that I really want? You know, but there are three things is that I always say that if you can take anything away is understanding what makes you special, your superpowers, so that you can always lead with those, even in your weaknesses, lead with your superpowers. Understand your flaws and realize that you're still flossom, right? You can have flaws, but still be flossom. Doesn't mean you don't.
And we're not talking dental floss either here, just so we know.
Right. And also knowing just how to use those two things to show up in the world. And remember that success is 20% talent. The other 80% is how you develop that talent, how you brand, the confidence you have when you use that talent, and how you brand that talent to shine.
Yeah, that's amazing. Do you, you know, and I know I said we would wrap up with this, but just one more question, you know, because we haven't asked you enough questions already. Do you think we tend to focus too much on our flaws? As in, do you think we work on it too much in business? So instead of being like, this is what I'm good at, this is my superpower, instead you're like, oh, I'm terrible at accounting because I am terrible at accounting. So I need to slave away and fix this, because unless I slave away and fix this, my business will never survive. Instead, you are kind of turning off your superpower and focusing on something that you quite frankly suck at.
Right. You know, I mean, there's different levels of flaws, right? We've got to first understand that. Your flaws can be addictions, which is going to destroy you, or it can be that you run late or you're a negative person, right? There are flaws, things that you can do with. I always talk about it as a pair of Gucci shoes. That Gucci shoes, I mean, you paid a lot of money for it. They're amazing color. They're great style. But if you wear that shoe and there's something in the toe that's rubbing your toe raw, you will never wear those shoes again. You may take a picture for Instagram, post it, and then put them in the back of the closet. So you've got to understand, is your flaw something that's going to hold you back, or is it something that you can work on and become better at? But here's the thing again, like what we're talking about with Harper, is that when you've got a flaw, there's something that's holding you back in your mind, the mindset's holding you back, that if you can just own it and share it with your team, hey, I suck at this. I'm really bad at this. Please help me. Help me be accountable for this. It will never hold you back. It's just taking ownership. When you take ownership of the flaw, whether you're working on it, whether you, and just because you don't have knowledge on something, or like you're not good at accounting, to me, that's not a flaw, right? To me, the flaw is more of a character flaw. Things that hold you back, you know, not knowing accounting, you may need to get some, that's a skill set you can learn. Mm-hmm. It's something you can do, but it's not necessarily for you to do that to be successful. Hire somebody that actually knows how to do that, right? Yeah. And just to kind of lay this out, as a singer, everybody feels like they need to be Christina Aguilera, but it's okay to be Britney Spears. It's okay mm-hmm. not to be the best vocalist in the room. It's okay to not be able to do riffs and runs and do these dynamic vocal belting songs, right? It's how you brand that, baby. It's how you put it together. Mm-hmm. And if you can focus on what you're really good at, don't bring what you're bad at to the table. Focus on what you're really good at. Have people help you where your flaws are and work on those flaws. Become better at them. But let's bring all the good things to the table and let's showcase what you're really good at.
Yeah.
Right. Does that make sense? And so, because Britney Spears is worth more money, she's won more accolades, she has a greater global impact. So it's okay to be what somebody may think as having more flaws rather than somebody who has exceptional talents and gifts and abilities.
That is an excellent point. The final question, you got about 20 seconds. Final thoughts.
Hey, if you're not walking in your power and your greatness, you're not only doing yourself a disservice, but you're also robbing me of my blessings. So if I can leave anything with you, is to go rebelliously after your goals and your dreams with confidence in your life. And if you don't have that confidence, let's get you to have that confidence. Let's get you to get to that power. And if you are a strong leader, a CEO, I want to help you become the best leader that you can be, the best influencer that you can be, because we need you to shape our universe.
Awesome. Thanks, Jonathan. Team, it is, look, I thought you were amazing. And normally I don't say this till afterwards, but I'm happy that it's recorded, because that was, you are inspirational, you are motivational, and you're vulnerable. And it makes people... You attract great people, and I can tell that already. So thank you for joining us on the show. I really appreciate
it. Thank you, James. Appreciate it.
All right, team, we're going to sign off there. Three Steps to Thrive Again. Every time we bring on a successful business owner or entrepreneur who leaves three steps to improve either the business or the business owner. And team, if you enjoyed this episode, Jonathan George has a freebie in the show notes. Do you want to give us a 10-second spiel on that?
UnleashYourRockstar.com. There's freebies. There's a bunch of tools in there. So there's like several different blueprints, worksheets that you can download that are going to help you build self-confidence or to break through the imposter syndrome for influencers, entrepreneurs, CEOs, things that are holding you back. Yeah, go download those. They're really powerful tools.
Awesome. Thanks, Jonathan. So team, if you enjoyed this podcast, please, please, please consider rating and reviewing this podcast. It's so important that we get ratings and reviews because a lot of small business owners, entrepreneurs, CEOs need to hear these messages because they are powerful messages. And imagine each step you pick up three steps. So five shows in, you pick up 15 steps. Imagine how much stronger your business will operate with you as a better leader and with a business with better operations. Team, it's been my pleasure. I thank you, each and every one of you out there. Appreciate you listening in. Same time, same place next week. Bye for now.
Don't forget, if you love this podcast, please leave a review. One of my goals is to support as many entrepreneurs and small business owners as possible with these simple, actionable, and practical tips. My team and I spend countless hours finding great guests who are experts in their field, and these people 100% volunteer to be on this show. And one of the best ways to help other people find this podcast is with your review. So if you would be so kind and subscribe and leave a review, this show can get out to more people and I would be forever grateful. So thank you in advance. Okay guys, thanks so much once more for tuning in. See you next week and have a great few days.